to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your church bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Today is the last Sunday of the month, and we will be having our fellowship luncheon directly following this service. And, of course, everyone is invited. The Deacon Board will also meet after this service at 3 o'clock this afternoon. There will be also, after the fellowship luncheon, a love celebration. And I don't have all the details on this, but I understand there will be music and poetry, and there will be an opportunity, and I hope I've got this straight, to ask the oldest couple in the church questions and the youngest couple in the church questions. So this promises to be quite interesting, and we hope that the questions are reasonable. Our scripture reading, there is one other thing. If you will refer to your bulletin, you'll note that the last activity scheduled today is the 2 o'clock service at Pacific Hills Manor. And as is customary on the last Sunday of the month, all other activities are canceled. So please refer to your other insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled during this coming week and next Sunday. Our scripture reading for this month is printed in your bulletin. It's from Psalm 33, verses 1 and 2. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 38, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Continue our worship with hymn number 523, Happy the Home When God Is There. Thank you. Will you please stand now as we sing hymn number 525, A Christian Home.
Remain standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, King David, said, "How blessed are those who dwell in the house of the Lord. They are ever praising Thee." And Father, this is our goal today as we gather as a church body to praise Your name for Your splendor, Your majesty, Your love, Your tender mercy, and Your grace upon us. Many of us know You, whether they are here in the auditorium, or they're in the airways of the radio KKNC, or in the airways of the internet across the world. We want to praise You for who You are, the God of Israel revealed to us through the person of Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You for our high priest. Thank You for the one who pray at the right hand of the Father for us. Thank You for the one who in tender mercy lead us into belief in spite of our unbelief. Thank You, Lord. Cause us to worship You today with a whole heart. Cause us to forget about our plans, our business trips, our details of what we're going to do tomorrow. Help us to concentrate today in our mighty God. And help us to say good things about the one who had mercy and care for us. Lord, we pray for our church family. Not only on Wednesday, but we remind ourselves here for those who are sick. For Loretta Forrest, our giant in bed. For Norma Lopez, still in the hospital. For Mary and Jerry West in Costa Rica flying back to America. And then March 1st, Jerry is going to have another test. And we pray for the success on his life so that he may know that there is a great God who loves him. For Donald McDowell, much better than yesterday. But Father, we pray that everything that happened in his life will be under Your control. We pray for Ann Pareto, a beautiful lady from Canada. Lord, bless her and give her strength in her life. And we pray for friends of the internet, Carla Galeotto and Mark Galeotto. And Carla has been really damaging one of her legs and cannot move. And, And we pray that not only she be recovered, but also for her husband who has a stress. And we pray that somewhere, somehow, our church will extend not only our prayers, but our help to them so that they can recover and be back to work. Thank you, Lord, that we can pray for those who have needs because we have a God who listens in heaven. Father, we have missionaries, and tomorrow, Fred and Carol Lewis, or the day after tomorrow, they are going back to Pasadena, to the new place of service. And we pray for his strength on Fred. Lord, I was talking to him on the phone yesterday. I can't believe it. 2 years ago, we thought that he died. And now he's strong again with his wife to go to the seminary in Pasadena, be a professor there. Thank you, Lord, that he's going to take missions. He has 25 years of missions already in Africa and Russia, and he qualified to teach. Thank you for him. For Carol and Ruth Knott, who are in Seville, Spain. For Eusebio Marisa Perez in Malaga. David and Denise Rhodes in Papua, New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala. Marta Poretti in Argentina. Dante and Maruja Rabines in Iquitos, Peru. Jose and Diane Avila in Costa Rica. And Sal Valle Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, California. Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, California. And Daniel and Miriam Lacey in the Motorsport Ministry across the nation. Thank you for these missionaries. Thank you for your people here at Bethel who support them and support the ministry of the church. Thank you because they support the ministry because they love you. Thank you that every offering is taken on the basis of loving you. So, Father, once again, bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Psalms. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 383. We will be reading Psalm 127, verses 1 through 5. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 127, all verses. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Blessed is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the Scriptures. Without them, we would be left to our own devices, never coming to a knowledge of the truth. We can labor with all our strength and skill, but we know that if you are not with us, all our plans, our designs will end in failure. We are very sad, Father, when we consider a society in which many think of children not as a reward, but with regret. We pray for our country that we would turn to you as in the past, and that you would not completely remove your hand of grace, restraining the judgment which we can already see developing. Nevertheless, we rejoice that this is still the day of salvation. This is the appointed time. And Jesus said that anyone who comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. We pray now for our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him, we pray, as he comes to deliver your truth that never changes, this in spite of men's efforts to distort and scoff. Bless all of us here and those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
We thank you this morning for it's a rainy morning and you are here to hear the word of the living God. And we are so delighted to share it with you. Also, we are grateful for the hundreds and thousands of people listening via radio and internet. And from time to time, I get a little thinking, are we doing right and spending this money that we do over the internet and so on? And then God verify you. And I receive a beautiful letter from a place I'm from South America, and I have traveled a lot in South America as a soccer player. And I never know this tiny little place in Venezuela. You know, Venezuela is the country where Hugo Chavez is the president, the one who laughed about our president. But people do not laugh about the Word of God. There is a tiny town where somebody have lost me over the shortwave radio and played. They said, now internet came into the city. Tiny farming area, the whole city is internet. Where Brother Greg explained me how that works. And he put the computer and he's listening. And his home has improved, his life has changed, and the life of his church has changed. A very long email he sent to me as a reinforcement of what God is doing when we teach the Word of God. I tell you, we thank the Lord, and it's your money is well invested in this ministry of the internet. On the month of February, and can you believe it, this is the last Sunday of February. I told in December to the Rehabilitation Center in Argentina, I'll be preaching for you on March when I go to Argentina, and it's just around the corner. I'll be there on the 7th, and I spend three weeks with him in these facilities. The missionary is working, and I want to work with them too. Now, we are on the last Sunday, and the whole month I designed the food for you, the spiritual food, that there is one topic in the morning and an explanation in the evening. And so we've been talking about Christianity today. And we talk about Christianity and you, the indwelling Christ in you. There's a lot of people that call themselves Christians, but are they Christians? Unless Christ dwells in you, there is no Christianity. We talk about Christianity in your life. Remember in the book of James, doing God's will. That is the only way to live. Then Christianity and your church was last sermon. And we are living stones in the church of God. This building is not the church. It's a facility that we thank God for them. But the real church is you. Now today, the torque is going to come really strong. It's going to be really strong. Christianity and your home. I know in America, you know, we talk about Iraq, we talk about Iran, and because I have Arabic descendant, I know how the Arabs will live. I live with my grandma for 28 years, and I know how the Arabs are precious. Their home is a jewel, is the preciousness of their life. Their life, their home, is just the most remarkable thing, all right? And in America, I said, well, we're free. We live in the way we want to. No, sir, if you're a Christian, you cannot do that. So I'm going to show you in the scripture. I don't know if you remember reading, but in the year 1861, an American consul in Europe named John Howard Payne died in Tunis. This man's diplomatic career was long before forgotten. If I ask you, do you know what he accomplished? You don't remember, unless you go to the books and read it. All what he wrote, he was a man who wrote about the country, is forgotten. But one of his poems was remain immortal. You maybe know this song, Home, Sweet Home, was written by an American diplomat right there in Tunis. It is important to remember that the whole idea and plan of home is a divine one. May the Congress of the United States listen to this. And therefore, it is not surprising that the Bible has much to say about this key institution of society, which is the home, so much under the attack of Satan today. Let us focus our attention on Psalm 127. So you do well if you open your Bible. In Psalm 127, it is in page 383 in the Bible that we use in the pew. My question for you is this. What is the secret of a happy home? What do you say, Pastor? It's not a profound question. What is the secret of a happy home? And young people, you who are single, listen carefully. What is the secret of a happy home? As I associate with people of my age, I don't look old, but I'm old. As I associate in O'Henry and in many places, I share my life in the neighborhood here so that they know what God said. As I take a cup of coffee with them and a donut or two and so on. Everybody, as they get older, they get separated. The wife goes in this way and the man goes in this way. Amazing. Amazing. You read the Bible, it's just the reverse. It's just amazing. So what's the problem? What's the problem? What is the secret of a happy home? Well, Psalm 127 gives us four answers for the secret of a happy home. Men, you listen. Ladies, you listen. Young people, you listen. Because this is wonderful. It's medicine for our life. So here they are. Number one, the first answer for a happy home is a home divinely founded. A divinely founded home. Look at in verse 127. Except the Lord. Now, is in your Bible the word Lord in capital? That means that the translators, and I'm putting for you how the English Bible came around. I have another 10 pages more to provide for you. The translators at this time in the year 1500, they don't know what to do with the word Jehovah. They are not like the Spanish or the Arabs. They just put the word Jehovah in the Bible. But that's the word Jehovah, the God of Israel, the Savior. Except the Lord, Jehovah, build your house. So a divinely founded home. God must authorize marriage. Except the Lord build the house. Not the Congress of the United States. Not the mayor of San Francisco. Not the governor of Massachusetts. Except the Lord build the house. Then there is no home. When the Lord Jesus was asked for an authoritative statement on the question of marriage, he pointed his questioners at the very first marriage in history. Put one hand here in Psalm 127 and go with me to Matthew's chapter 19, page 574. Matthew's chapter 19, verse 3 and verse 4. And the page number in your Bible should be 574. Jesus was questioned about the authority on marriage by the Pharisees, who were the doctors of the law. And in Matthew 19, verse 3, said the Pharisees, who were the doctors of the law, also came unto Jesus, unto him, testing him, putting him to trial, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife or to divorce his wife for every cause or for any kind of thing? Now, remember the book of Leviticus, if a woman cross by and there is a dead body and the women bow to the dead body, then that woman can be divorced because she's unclean. All kinds of crazy laws. And I said, can a man use all kinds of excuses because he sees a good-looking girl here, say, I get rid of my old wife and I get that one. Can he do that? Now, what will be Jesus' answer? How a lawyer who knew the law placed this question, what did Jesus will say? Verse 4. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read? In other words, have ye not read the law? That he which made them, the Bible talks about God made you, at the beginning, made them male and female, and said, now look at what God now, not only Jesus, God said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twin shall be one flesh. And so Jesus pointed out to the point that in a godly made marriage, the ideal of a godly made marriage is no divorce. That's what he said. Now, God must perform marriage. 127, going back to Psalm 127, the Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman is working in vain. So, God must perform marriage. God must perform marriage. Young people, you who are sure you're going to get married, be sure that this is God's will for your life. Go back to Genesis, first book of the Bible, chapter 2 and verse 22. This is the first time God is going to place marriage available. And the rib, said the Bible, that the Lord, God, had taken from the man he made. The original word is he rebuilt into a woman. He took a rib from the man and rebuilt into a woman and brought her to the man. And it's still the same. You can pray, your man, for a lady. You can pray whatever you want to pray. Pray, and God's going to bring you that man. It's still the same business. It's still the same. God must perform marriage. If we are Christians, we pray for a companion, and God brings you that companion. Now, commenting on this particular verse, that God brought this, You don't have to look at, but in Matthew 19, if you keep one hand in one and the other, Matthew 19:6, the Bible said, so they, Jesus said, so they no longer are two, but one flesh. Boy, that's difficult. They are two heads thinking. No longer they are two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not American lawyer put asunder. That's Pastor Otero's retranslation. You see what I mean? Somebody told me, that's dogmatic. Don't ask me, it's written. Here, when you go to the court, and the judge looks into the law, you don't say to the judge, that's dogmatic, the judge is going to follow the law. So, God must perform marriage. The Lord commented on that marriage and endorsed it. So if marriage is performed by God, there is a great possibility that there is no divorce. Sometimes they come to divorce. Some of the parties cannot avoid it. But I tell you, the ideal of marriage in the Bible is not divorce. And this business of marriage of the same sex, not even commenting in the Bible. Not even mentioned in the Bible. In the real sense, I thought that harmony of the community, I wrote this to the mayor of San Jose, in the real sense, the harmony of the community is contingent upon the unity of the homes within it. And a home can be united only when it is founded in God. So don't take the Bible out of the San Jose Center for become popular. Don't take the Bible out of your life. Bring the Bible into your home. It's going to produce a lot of healing in you, which is going to heal the home. So a divinely founded home is the first answer to this drama of the Christian and your home. You have to be sure that wedding that you walk into, you have to be sure that boy that you love so much and that girl that you love so much, you have to be sure is a gift of God to you. A wife, the Bible said, you will see it, is a gift of God to you. So how do you treat a gift? Now I give a lot of things away, except any gift my wife has given me, I don't care how insignificant it could be. My girls come in and said, oh, I like this, I like that. I know they check everything I have and I'm also going to die, so take it. Or they take this. The one took my car. Boom, take it, all right? But don't take any gift my wife has given me. That's a seal in my life. And young man and old man, you know, your wife is a precious gift to you. Doesn't matter how much headache they give you, it is a gift of God. All right, a direct founded home. The second answer the Bible has in Psalm 127 is talking about a divinely fended home, a home that the fence is God. Look at in verse 2, 127 in verse 2. It is vain for you to raise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so giveth his beloved a sleep. A divinely fended home. Some people said, I know how to take care of my home. No, no, let God take care of your home. He will put a fence in your home. How does God put a fence in my home? Through the practice of prayer. Listen to this man. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, page 714. 1 Peter, chapter 3, and verse 7, page 714. Look at what the Bible said. Listen, man, listen carefully. Man as a male, listen carefully. Likewise, ye husband, after Peter gave an exhortation to the wife, he said, likewise, ye husband, dwell with them, live with your wife according to knowledge. Do you know your wife? One time I asked somebody, I want to give a gift to your wife. What do your wife like? He said, I don't know. What? Marriage for 25 years and doesn't know what his wife like. You don't know what your wife like? Look at what the Bible said. Likewise, ye husband, dwell with them according to knowledge. In other words, you study your wife, giving honor unto the wife as unto a weaker vessel. You know, you take care of your wife as unto a weaker vessel and being heirs together of the grace of life. What is the condition? That your prayers may be no hinder. The way you try your wife is in proportion, in direct proportion to the telephone prayer to God. If you don't treat your wife correctly, your prayer life is always busy. You cannot get into heaven. It's a direct proportion. Do you see it? Is it you study your wife. What is she like? What does she want? Well, how does she? And you accommodate your life to her life. Otherwise, your prayer line will be busy all the time. Whew! When I read that, I said, well, no wonder when Jesus told that to Peter. Remember in Matthew 19, Peter said, if I knew that, I'd never get married. He said, you know, he was a human being. It's serious business to get married. In the Bible, it's serious business to get married. So a divinely fended home is a home who has a prayer, practice of prayer. Also, it's a home that reads the Word of God. Look in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, page 695. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. And let me see, the page number will be 695. The practice of prayer is important. The reading of God's Word is a mass. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Let the Word of God penetrate your life. Read the Word of God together. There are homes that tell me, you know, I'm an old pastor, 39 years in the pastorship. And they tell me, so I cannot read the Bible with my wife. We argue. What? Don't read the Bible to argue. You read the Bible to assimilate it. Don't argue with your wife. Don't tell your wife what she needs to believe or not. Just read it and say, praise God for this verse. Praise God for the next verse. Praise God for this. Take it to heart. Reading of God's Word. Most of the time, there are two basic problems at home. They don't read the Word of God. They don't praise God enough as a family. There's a third issue in divinely fended home through the leading of the Holy Spirit. A home is protected by prayer. A home is protected by the reading of God's Word. And a home is protected by the Holy Spirit. Look at with me in John Gospel, chapter 14, verse 26, page 633. John Gospel, chapter 14, in verse 26. Look at what the Bible says. You know, some people think that the giving of the Holy Spirit is theology. It's more than theology. Look at it in John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, the word for Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is the word paracleto. Para means beside, kleto, the speaker. And thank you very much. And when you have somebody, you know, when you go to court, you have a lawyer beside you. He's a paracleto. He's a comforter. He's going to speak on your behalf. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Comforter, which the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said. In other words, the practice of God's Word, as you read in the Bible in home, then you pray that God will lead you in the understanding of what you read. And that God will lead you not only in the understanding and the practice of what you read. That's what God provides. So a home need to be fended, and need to be fended by God. The practice of prayer. Be sure there is no sin in your life, otherwise prayer is blocked. Be sure you read God's words, so your mind is full and your heart is full of God's direction. And be sure to wait for decisions until the Holy Spirit leads you. There is a third answer to a happy home, and the secret of a happy home not only is founded. A divinely founded, not only is divinely fended, but also is a divinely furnished home. When you want to buy a property, in America, in South America, they don't do that. But in America, you go to these model homes and are all with furniture. Top of the line furniture everywhere. Now, Costa Rica is doing the same thing. We went just to see. Some of the models, too hot here. Some of the models and with excellent furniture. I mean, detailed furniture. The furniture was $100,000, the whole house, which is an enormous amount of money when a person earns $10,000 a year. So you have a home with $100,000 furniture. All furniture. It's so beautiful. It's different. You go to an empty home, it's just hollow. But you go to a home with it all decorated, the floor the same color and everything detailed, man, it's good. Now I want to talk about that. A divinely furnished home. First is the holy enchantment of a husband and a wife. And in this, your wife has a key. Very seldom, I don't take this off because I'm a man who lives at 55 degrees, and here must be 90. Okay? And my body gets sick if I take showers with cold water, so can you imagine? The enchantment of a home. How can a home be so enchanting in this way? There is a book for that in the Bible. I don't know if you read it. I read it when I was young. Son of Solomon. Go to the Son of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 5, page 409. The Son of Solomon, 509. Excuse me, 409. The Son of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 5. The enchantment of a home. The wife is speaking. Her name was Shulamite. And she's speaking about her husband. She said, I arose to open to my beloved, and my hands drip with myrrh. That's perfume. That's the top perfume from Arabia. You know where all perfumes come from? Lebanon. If you buy a extract perfume like that, maybe it costs $1,000. He said, I want to see my husband drip with myrrh perfume. That was a cream. My fingers with liquid perfume on the handles of the bolt. She's going to open the door, and as she opened the door, the husband knew she's coming. He smelled her perfume. There was an enchantment that the women provoked for the husband. A super enchantment. And she was ready to enchant her husband in great love for him. Don't lose that. Lady, don't lose that. There is nothing more great for a man than to be encouraged by his wife. When a wife doesn't have to have actual literal perfume, but when a wife uses the perfume of nice words to a husband, When a wife is so tender and comprehensive and encourages a husband, there is no greater power for a man than those words, as husbands do. When I take dinners in your home, I write immediately when I go to the car after the dinner a few things I saw in your home. You know, I never forgot. I'm a psychologist, so I write those things to remember. I want to discover something from the Cassandrians. You know, they're all, I can say it. I have learned from my brother Cassandrian sweetness and kindness in treating his wife. I had the pleasure to dine in his home many times. Never failed, as I look in my log, never failed the words that come from brother Cassandrian to his wife. Mary, this was delicious. And he stand up and he said, Mary, this was good. And that put me ashamed. It's a sweet moment of life. So tender. So powerful. No wonder I go to their home and there's always a peace in their home. Peace. That's what you need to improve. My grandma's home was peace. Raquel's home was peace. And because one is tender with the other. And recognition of the other person. Don't forget that. Here in the opening verse of the Son of Solomon, the wife want to be tender and loving to her husband, and vice versa. You have to read other chapters, and the man was in the same way. Don't lose that relationship. Life can be tough. Life can be all kinds of circumstances, but the Bible encourages that you, husband and wife, be tender to each other, kind to each other, loving each other like crazy. That will help your life to be different. A divinely furnished home. the fullness of love. Secondly, the happiness of contentment in a home. I was talking to old guys, 85, 87, 90. And I said to them, tell me, what do you miss when you were 6, 7 years old? And they tell me, nothing. Where do you live? I live right here in Morgan Hills, 85 years old. There was only one street with the dirt. And I helped my daddy who sold oil to, there was a bakery over there. And do you have a bike? No, I don't have a bike. There was only one school and we all went over there. And we still have the school to show you here in Morgan Hill. And they said, we were the happy times of our life. I never miss anything. So the second ingredient of a divinely furnished home, you have the chair of love. Need another chair. The chair of contentment. Contentment. Look in your Bible in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, page 666. Romans 8 and verse 28. The chair of contentment. And we know, said the scripture, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We know. We know in page 666, I don't like the number, but that's the number. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them they are called according to His purpose. Whatever happened in your life is for good. It's for good. So don't complain about it. Don't grumble about it. Just pray even privately. Don't ask anybody to pray for. Just pray privately. A divinely furnished home. The enchantment, the chair of love. The chair of contentment. And the chair of a good sleep. Look in Psalm 127. Look at it in verse 2. Psalm 127, chair of good sleep. It is vain for you to raise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow. For he giveth his beloved sleep. You know, I can be tired like crazy after 10 or 12 hours or 14 hours of work. And you're tired and I go to sleep and Raquel cannot wake me up. Boom, gone. You can take me from there, put me outside. I'm sleeping. When I'm sleeping, I'm sleeping. Nobody can wake me up. When you are asleep in God's will, that's the secret. When you know that you have 24 hours and you have lived those 24 hours in God's will, whatever you have done in God's will. You don't have to look in the back. You don't have to look in the other side. You have done God's will and you are consciously in integrity in your life. When your life walks in integrity and works with God, then you go to sleep tired, but you go to sleep and God grants that sleep. That's the key. Some people have problems to sleep. You know, they have their pills. Because they have so many problems unsolved in life that they cannot go to sleep. But I can work like crazy, whether it's canceling a study or whatever. And you try to study God's Word. It gets you tired if you really go deep in the Word of God. And then you're trying to counsel people and trying to benefit people with the love of God and with the counsel of God. They get you exhausted. But you go to sleep. The next morning you're okay. Because you're asleep in God's will. But you fool around with your life. You cannot sleep well. The furnish of integrity in your life. That gives you a tremendous, tremendous home. Now, finally, there is a fourth answer to the question, what's the secret of a happy home? A divinely favored home. Look in verse 3 in the Psalm. The attractive desire of parenthood. Lord, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Children are God's gift. I remember we brought our niece, who now her husband is a pastor in San Francisco, and they were an age, and they had one boy, they had a second boy, and then about 3 or 4 years, she called us and said, you know, aunt, what happened? Oh, as we thought it was an accident. living primo. What happened? Tell uncle, what do you want? I go. Where are you? What happened? So I'm pregnant. Oh, how wonderful. Oh, but I had two. And then later on, she was about 30-something, 38. Then she called and said, oh, uncle. So, oh, you are pregnant again. Yeah, oh, how wonderful. But I'm 38. So what? It's a gift of God. Nobody can make a baby, only God. Amen. Only God can make a baby. He made us, and only God can make babies. So it's wonderful. God give you another. Oh, but you know, I know you came with one and now you have four. So what? It's a gift of God. Remember the Lilos? What they have? 8, 9? All right. I'm looking around to see somebody can have beat them. Well, Brother Kong maybe. But I tell you, it's a gift of God. Now, I can tell you, Brother Kong has to work because he has to feed them, has to provide for them, has to educate them. Now, that's a man of God. You don't think it's a burden. He goes to a sleep tire and he do his business because he knows he's responsible for what he and his wife have created. That's beautiful. God will bless a man like that. So the attractiveness of parenthood, they are God gift. And they are God missionaries. Look in verse 5. They are God missionaries. Happy is a man that has his quiver full of them. Now, a quiver is an army word. Remember, they don't have tanks. They don't have machine guns. They have what? Arrows. All right? What is a quiver? Where you put the arrows? How many in a quiver?
12.
So, young people? Those who are married? Brother Cohen and the others? Come on. 12. All right? 12. Amazing. My father came from a home of 17. Wow. When we have Christmas, it was like a city. All together. Amazing. Amazing. They are God's missionaries. See? Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. You shall not be ashamed for having children. But they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. They shall subdue the enemies. In other words, here is my home. The credential of a pastor is his home. The churches are run today. When they hire pastors, I know. I receive so many invitations to be a pastor here and there. And they have a book thick like this. And all kinds of questions. I call them. There's two questions that you mean. So what is it? First, if I love Jesus. Remember what Jesus asked Peter? You love me. If I love Jesus. And the second question is my home in order? If I love Jesus, my home in order, I qualify according to the scripture. My friend, the attractive desire of parenthood. When you get married, it's no fun. You think you're going to have fun, but it's no fun. And when the children come, there is no fun. You cannot sleep. And then when you cannot sleep, you worry where are they going to go to school. And then when you have grandchildren, you worry about it. If you have grandchildren like mine, they call every 20 minutes. Hey, this, it's just amazing. I'm just so happy. They relate to you. Read the book of Proverbs. The prestige of an old man is his grandchildren. They are loving him. You know, we lost that because we don't read the Bible. There is one more thing about the divine favor home. The responsibility of parenthood. Look at verse 4. The responsibility of parenthood. Some people say, when my children are 18, they go. Well, where do they go? Well, they go. They are no more responsible. What? Where did you learn that? Look at verse 4. As arrows in the hands of, what's the word? Mighty man. That's a soldier. What do you call it? In the Marine, there will be one of those people who invade first. And who strategically look for the territory. Arrows in the hands of a mighty man. So are children of the youth. Your children need... how this arrow goes, you know, in this way. If you know, if you are in an armory and you put arrows, you don't get any arrows. You sharp that arrow. I love to kill cats. And when I was young, I had those arrows. And they cut my nail. And that cat died and so on, you know. Terrible thing I did, but that's what I did. No man likes God, no? All right. The direction they go, the effect they will have, depends on the way the arrow is produced, polished, pointed, and poised. That's the instruction that you receive. So no any arrow, you just look the material you're going to do that. And then the direction they go and so on depends on how you prepare that arrow. Don't blame your children when they go in the wrong direction. Blame yourself. Don't blame your children. Grandparents, we still have a chance to work in them by talking to them, to our grandchildren, and by bringing them to church, and by exhorting them. You maybe die and don't see the results, but later on, the results are there. There is a Spanish fellow here, Leo. And his grandma, when I talked to him in the coffee shop, why he's here? Because when I mentioned to him the blessedness of the Bible and so on, he remembered grandma. And he told me the story of grandma, a passionate story, how she died and she was crying. I'm a good friend, so I can tell you. He asked grandma, he said, "Mom, grandma, you're going to die? And that's why you cry?" She said, "No, I cry for you. You're a rascal." Like I was. Like you were. But Leo was here. Grandma's reading of the scripture to Leo is no loss. And he brings his grandchildren here. Those two revolution guys. And I like it. Don't bother me. You know why? Because they are exposed to the Word of God. They're exposed to the Word of God. Long after Leo passed away, they will remember. They will remember. Their grandpa brought me to the scripture. See, guys, it's simple. You don't need a book of psychology and training and seminars. You need the Bible. You need the Bible. Then you need to follow the Bible. All right? The responsibility of parenthood. Shut those children so when they go to a school, they're smart. Not only smart in the subject, but in integrity. My daughter studied in David University in the medical school there. I never was worried about my daughter. Never, because I knew her integrity. I said, "Dress like a lady with high heels and well-dressed. I pay for this. You walk like a lady. You talk like a lady. They will respect you." So one day, by surprise, I come in the evening, maybe 1 o'clock in the morning when she was in the library. And she said, "My dad." And I have a program on television. And here's my dad. And there were two dentists. They want to sleep with my daughter. That's what they want. The lust of men. And my daughter was telling me, "It's impossible." So he said, "Here's my dad." And they came to me and said, "I want you to know, the first thing we want to do is sleep with your daughter there in the apartment." And she told us about God. She's a woman of integrity. Now we protect her. When she take the bike and go to the apartment, we all follow her with the car so she's safe. Only God can do that. Only God can overrule the lust of men. So parents, spend time with your children. Oh, you maybe, I don't know how to ask, unless you have to do it. Women do not work. Actually, it's wrong. Women do not go outside to work. Go in a most hard job as your children. Now, I want to close with one verse of the Bible. One verse of the Bible that commending to a lady was John. In that beautiful letter of 3 John, in chapter 1 and in verse 4, page 720, almost at the end of the Bible. John is writing, is dying, and writing letters to people. And in writing letters to people, he remembered this lady. And look at what he remembered of the lady. In 3 John chapter 1 and verse 4, it's just a summary. It's just the whole sermon in a nutshell. He says these words, "I have no greater joy," he said, "from the island of Patmos. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." Parents, there is no greater joy in your life than your children are walking in the truth. They may be garbage collector at $66,000 in California. They may be doctors. They may be mechanics. They may be helpers in some place. Doesn't matter what job you have. The key is that those children may walk in the Lord. That's the pride of a father. That is the real joy of a grandfather. That is the safety way a community can improve. The city of Morgan Hill wants to help the community to improve. So they write to the pastors, if we all can get together and storm ideas together, see what we can do. I said, yeah. I said, I wrote to them. What we can do is preach the gospel in the community, in the city hall, preach the gospel on the street, preach the gospel everywhere, and the community will improve. He said, well, that's discrimination. No, that's salvation. Amen. When the people know the Lord, he said, well, we don't need people like this. No, you need me. I keep saying, you need me. Remember me. Do you want me to pray in the city hall? Oh, no, it's illegal. Why? God is illegal in the city hall? I get this new mayor's neighbor. So I keep saying, you didn't. As a matter of fact, the other day I was on the corner and he passed it, don't say hello to me. I'm going to go to his home. What's wrong with him? That's illegal. That shows a heart that's bad. That shows a heart that needs God. My people, are, you know, we lose the idea. We think, yesterday, you know, now election's coming in earlier, even though election is 2 years from now. But they're talking about this lady or this man and the other man. Which will be the best? God will be the best. God will be the best. Christian people, come back to God. Parents, put yourself to work with God. And you will see your children change. You will see your children in great. You will see sharp arrows that when they leave your home to make another home, they will be. You will be so proud of them. And when they fail, don't argue. Put your shoulder and lift them up. I told my daughter, you're going to be at this university. We're going to get this condominium for you. And you can make a mess of your life or a success of your life. You can be a doctor very soon. But I tell you something, I said. If you make a mess, call me. Because I'm here to lift you up. And we start again. We lose years and territory. But Galatians 6:1 said, you who are spiritual, put your shoulders on the other. Let's put our shoulders on each other and lift yourself up so there will be a strong Christian community, not in what we said, but in what we do. And God is going to be honored. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the strong exhortation of this psalm. Thank you for the lovely exhortation to our life. Lord, we knew all of this. We just reviewed it. It's good for us. For sometimes we are so busy in this world that we forget the very basic thoughts of your word. Oh, bless us, God. Bless us with a revival in our home life so that our children will be arrows in the hands of a mighty man. And that man is God. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Thank you.
Will you stand for the benediction? Remind you that today is fellowship day, and we're going to have a nice Valentine experience after the luncheon. And if you are a guest, please stay. We have plenty of food. The ladies here are just marvelous. I'm so glad to hear the church so full. Let's pray together. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.